Hello.
Hey, Mercedes, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, good. Yeah, thank you for taking the time here to join us in the Toddcast in Vancouver, Canada.
For sure. I'm excited to. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Have you ever been to our city?
I have. Yeah, it's been a while, but I have been to Vancouver, I think a couple of times, actually.
Cool. Yeah, great place. Yeah. I've lived here pretty much all my life.
Beautiful. Yeah. It's really beautiful.
Where did you grow up?
Orange County, California.
Oh, nice. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That must not have
still
sucked.
In the area.
Yeah, no doubt.
It did not suck.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of other places. I still keep coming back here. So
it keeps pulling you back. Yeah. It. Yeah. It's something about the West Coast. You know, I think we've got it the best.
I'm not going to tell anybody that out loud because I don't think any more people need to move here. But
right. Exactly. Exactly.
But we'll keep that secret to ourselves.
All right, let's get into this. Of course, most people are going to know you through Bellator MMA.
Yeah.
What's your first memory of Bellator?
Oh, first memory of Bellator. That's a really good question. I'd say, of course, you know, the first event that I was at, it was the first event of season two of Bellator. So
okay.
Way back when.
Yeah, totally.
And mostly, I think the nerves weren't so much around, you know, watching the fights and that, because I was already a fan of MMA, but I was more nervous about meeting the other ring girl I was going to be working with, because you work in such close proximity and, you know, you end up sharing rooms, and we were assigned to go on the whole tour with them. So I knew I was going to either need to be really, you know, I need to be really good friends with this girl, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, it was a girl named Monica Ortega at the time, and she was great. We hit it off, and not that I've had a lot of bad experiences with girls, but some you just really jive with.
But you never know. Like, just imagine if you actually had to work with somebody, they're like, oh my God, I do not want to work with her.
That's literally where the hard part of the job comes in, right?
Yeah.
Like figuring out what to talk about with someone who you do not have anything in common with.
And do you personally spar? Do you know any MMA?
I have practiced a little bit of Muay Thai and a little bit of Jiu-Jitsu here and there for fitness purposes, but mm-hmm. No, I definitely would not consider myself any sort of expert in any form of martial arts, except for watching it.
Right, as am I. What is that routine like? What's your workout schedule like?
Oh, kind of whatever I feel like that day. You know, the hipsters these days call it intuitive working out, right. Intuitive fitness. But basically, like, if I could do something every day, and all the big workout junkies are going to cringe when I say this, but I would run. Like, I love jogging, and I think I know. It's probably mostly about just, like, being outside. I always do it in the sunshine and, like, having, you know, taking a little bit of a slower pace of going down the street or on, you know, wherever it is that I get to do that. Or if I go on a hike, that's my most favorite form of fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of like stopping to smell the roses a bit. It's kind of like a meditative practice in some regard, where my body just goes and I don't have to think too much about it.
Yeah, it's amazing the people that do that style of fitness as well. My wife, I mean, she'll do like the half marathons, you know, like 21 kilometers, which would be 13, 14 miles, you know, for you guys.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, like, imagine I'm just going to go run 14 miles. What?
I know. I do have... I want to run a marathon in Rome. That's one of my goals. But the thing is, I don't know that I'll ever do it, because I know about all the damage that is done to your body.
Well, yeah, the whole point of the marathon, wasn't that like that it was like somebody at the front lines of a war was running back to let the Roman Emperor know that, you know, that they were going to be invaded or whatever, and they died.
Wow, I don't know.
That that's the actual, like, that's where the whole marathon thing came from. So people that run marathons are like, wow,
how far can we push ourselves? Totally. We almost die.
Totally. Like, even half marathon. I did a 5K a couple of years ago, and I was like, all right, that's enough. 5K's enough.
Yeah. I could do, you know, 5 miles I can do pretty easily, but still my knees will start hurt. You know, you start feeling it, so I know it's not something your body's made to do.
Right.
But
no, it's definitely testament.
I think it's cool to, like, seek out where your limits are. That's what that's all about for me.
Yeah, I agree.
But other than that, fitness-wise, just getting into any kind of movement, really. Honestly, like, any kind of movement. If I know I'm going to have a long day of doing other things than being able to move, like if I'm going to be sitting at a desk at my computer or something, then I will make sure I make extra trips up my stairs that day. You know, like I'll find ways to get the movement in.
Something, anything.
Mm-hmm. Anything.
You knew that this question was coming. Who's your favorite fighter?
It's always a tough question because I'm going to be straight with you. A lot of what I base my favorite fighter, that question off of, is how well I know the person. And, sure. if I just think they're a really super solid human being, that's who is going to be at the top of my list. But
and there's a ton of those guys in the sport. I mean, there's so many great guys.
There's no bad guys. These are just the ones I've connected with.
Sure, no bad guys.
Yeah, I hope not. I mean, I'm sure probably we've got some super villains, but most of that, they just play on TV, I think. So the guys, though, I would say at the top of my list right now are Michael Venom Page, MVP. Matt Mitrione, Gaston Bolanos. I could list you off a lot I'd be in their corner. But those guys are really doing a great job, I think, representing for the sport, representing for Bellator and all that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've had Scott Coker as a guest as well, and man, that guy, he is the top.
Awesome.
What a great guy, the guy that's running a huge organization, taking the time, and just amazing, super
just
nice guy.
Super, like even just when you're around Scott, he's like, he gives you those vibes, like you're just like, damn, this dude is really down to earth, humble, like he actually is listening and hears you and sees you. And I could say as a ring girl, that's a lot, you know, that's like a lot more than what people take a ring girl as. You know, I've been in this career, in this industry for a long time, and it's not just this industry. I mean, in MMA, I mean the industry of modeling,
right?
And people are not going to take a female in this position very seriously a lot of the time. So the fact that Scott Coker has been really willing to like hear me out, what my ideas are, and just have a time, set aside time to talk to me about that type of thing has been huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't. Doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, super decent dude. And any fighter you talk to who works for us is like, Scott Coker is really a decent person. You know, right. Like they feel like
they're
getting a fair shake with that dude.
By the way, I love your Twitter bio, Bellator girl.
Oh.
And we're not left to our fates without the ability to affect the outcome. That's great. Is that a famous quote, or is that just something that's, well said?
So funny that you asked that, because I was like, is this a famous quote?
Because it seems like it is.
The other day, it seems like it should be, right? Now,
totally.
Maybe it will be one day, because I've said it enough times.
Maybe.
On my Twitter bio.
But I do. I love it. I just love it.
I got that from my mom.
Okay, wow.
She's in peril. She's the woman who puts mantras all over the house my whole life, and so I picked up a few of them.
Well, that's great. Give her a little kudos on for me. I think it's amazing. I thought for sure it was a famous quote. Okay, let's get outside of MMA and fitness and what you're known for. Are you a good cook?
I'm a pretty decent cook. However, I do not. I have no desire at all to cook.
Right. No, I think that's the most of us are kind of like that. What's your go-to dish if you're looking to impress friends and stuff that are over?
Ordering something or we all go to dinner. That's
that
Postmates,
awesome.
Grubhub, Uber Eats. That's pretty much what's going on there.
Right. Right. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm literally, I make a mean guacamole. That's about the effort. That's the level of effort I'll put into a situation.
Okay.
I can make a decent cocktail and some decent guacamole. I'm set.
Right. What's your cheat food?
Oh, cheat food. I love sugar.
Yeah.
So pretty much anything sugar related I'm happy with. But do you have nothing bunk cakes in Canada?
No, we probably do, but I don't know. I know what you're talking
about.
Okay,
well, this is no ad for, I'm not being paid by them to say this, but
right.
God damn, they have really good bunk cakes. They're bunk cakes, but they make them really well. I don't know, but that would probably be the top of my cheat list.
Looking for a new sponsor, maybe, you never know. Unlimited supplies of bunt cake.
That's probably what I don't need to do, is get a cake sponsor.
Probably
be
not.
In trouble.
Probably not. Do you believe that aliens have visited Earth?
We're here, aren't we? I mean, yeah, for sure. I think we started out as them. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're thinking of like little green dudes running around, I think if there's a species that's able to get here and has the ability, the technology, whatever it takes in order to find us, then come be here. They probably also have the ability to be unseen or come, you know, undetected in some way. So yeah, if we're trying to like guess about it, then it's probably already happening, whether it's in this universe or a parallel universe. It's for sure happening.
Parallel universe, really? You're opening up that door. Okay, all right. I like that. Wouldn't it be amazing that if there wasn't another life form in the universe? And we're the
only... That would be really amazing.
That would be amazing if we were the only ones. That just does not compute.
We really want to be that special, though.
I think we really do. I don't think we are, though. I think there's aliens living among us.
For sure. I think even some of us, when we encounter each other, I walk away from some encounters going, that person was not of this planet, for sure.
Air quoting person. As your
person, exactly. Person.
You are online a fair amount. Is it always you? Do you have people that are kind of helping your thing? And what's your favorite platform?
For social media, my comment back and all that is me. Sometimes I have help with scheduled posts and like making sure things get out on time, that type of thing.
Right.
But especially within this last like year or so, it's like one of my goal markers, I guess, is to like really connect with the people who've supported me for so long. Because I've been in this game for a while, and man, I have some seriously true fans, like people who have had my back where I don't even know why they have, you know, and I want to get to know those people a little better and figure out like what's going on in their lives and who they are and how they can connect with me, because I think we're all here to be a better community in some regard or another. So.
Mm-hmm. No, I like that. I like the way, you know, you're very interactive. You're engaged with your followers. I think that's cool.
It's a lot of work, man. You probably know.
Are you kidding me? My God, yes. It's so much work. It's like a job. It is a job onto its own.
Don't you feel, though, when you're putting out stuff that's really, like, authentically you, and you're conversing with people through comments or whatever about that, it's pretty light-giving and really isn't as energy consuming. It's almost energy giving sometimes, I find, but it can be, like getting through all the trolls and the type of people who you just don't need to hear from.
You get some positive stuff, but you know, you get 100 positive comments and you get those 3 assholes and like, that you're not thinking about the 100 positive comments that night. You're like, fucking what a dick. Like,
I know.
Who writes that shit? Like, who does that? You know? Oh man, I tell you.
I don't know. Like, I literally don't know. Like, do you know a person who would do that?
I know, right?
Like, I think I could say, like, oh, that guy might have been that person in the past, but I don't keep those people in my life for long, so no. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I know. Snippity snip. Snip, snip. You're gone. What shows are you watching right now? What are you binge watching you can't get enough of?
You know what I do want to start watching right now is the Ted Bundy. What is this?
Oh,
the Netflix.
Yeah. You know, I started watching that. He's so like, the hell is the name of it? It's Confessions of Something?
Something like that.
Anyway, yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's good.
Netflix. It's about his history.
Yeah, I mean, search out Ted Bundy and you're probably going to find it. But yeah, no, interesting that he was so charismatic and, you know, women were swooning for him and they really thought that he was not that person. He wasn't killing people and putting them in his freezer. And, you know, it's
really interesting. I haven't watched it yet, but strangely, a conversation came up last night about the way that we have this tendency as humans to like want to fix people or to find the best, you know, in people. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we are all seeing our own reflections in whatever we witness or observe in other people. And I was thinking, when you're dating, you know, you hear about these stories where people, or women specifically, go to jails and they meet up, you know, they look through the glass or whatever you do in a prison, at these people who have, you know, committed these horrendous crimes, yet they want to become pen pals, and then they maybe even have conjugal visits and have a child or whatever happens after that with people, like, who make these connections.
Like, I want to marry
what the hell's going on?
Yeah, what the what?
I mean, I don't even mean to laugh about it, because I think it's like a real problem we have as the current human population, you know, at least here, I don't know about everywhere else in the world, but I know we're dealing with some stuff where we're not
right.
sorting through what's going on in our psyche. We're just finding ways to put it aside or hopefully mask it for the moment, and you end up with interesting little scenarios like that. And I mean, that's a really deep rabbit hole we could get into. But
oh god, yeah, yeah, interesting to say the very least, for sure. How about the movies? What was the last movie you saw in theater?
What did I see? Oh, now, I'm not going to lie to you. I'd say that the last movie I actually saw in theater was Black Panther, I think it's called. Was it Marvel? Who did that?
Superheroes, yeah, Marvel, yeah.
Yeah, the superhero. So that was pretty good.
That was a great show.
But I'm always on the airplane, of course, so I'm watching. So that's why I don't go to the movies, because I've already seen all of it on the plane, right? Yeah. Especially when we're doing these international shows, it's like I'm going to be watching three or four.
That's got to be like one of the best things about your job, is like just the flying around and being in different places and being in different cities and just kind of, you know, soaking up stuff that most people that work the 9-to-5 don't do. Or if they do it, they do it like once or twice at the most a year.
Yeah, I'd say the travel, as far as when you're actually at the physical place, you know, especially if it's a really different experience as far as culturally or somewhere you're not going to be able to go on your own dime usually, then it's freaking awesome. A lot of the time we're spending traveling the same places in the U.S., which isn't a problem. The actual physical travel part of it, though, is what gets a little
tiring.
Wearing on you.
That's tiring. Yeah. Your body just gets... Where have you been that you're like, man, this is like not what I was expecting?
Petra, Jordan. So like I've spent some time now, a couple times we've had a few shows in Tel Aviv, Israel, and off of those shows, which by the way, Israel was amazing and I had a great time. I've been there, I think, three times now. It's been awesome. But the, every time I've gone, I've taken a spin-off trip to anywhere semi close by that I want to visit. So I've gone to Egypt cool. now twice, and I went to Petra now twice as well off of those trips. And they were all places where I did not know what to expect. I knew it was going to be culturally different, you know?
Sure.
And I just fell in love with a lot of what's in the Middle East, really.
Very cool. I have never been to Egypt, yeah. and I would love to go. Like, it's literally the
highly recommend it.
Top of, yeah. I don't know why I haven't been. I'm over 40 years old. Like, how have I not been there?
Well, that was the other thing I was going to say when you mentioned, like, a lot of people don't get to travel and whatnot. And now that I have done so much travel, whoever's listening to this, if you're sitting at a desk job and going, yeah, I wish I could have that type of job where I could just travel. Honestly, as I've gone through the times, you know, doing the traveling with Bellator, traveling with whatever company is bringing me internationally, especially, yes, I've been paid for to get to the place I'm going to get me into like a close location, like I said, Israel.
Yeah.
But I pay for the rest of it, and I pay to get home or whatever the thing is. So the way that I do that though is I set aside money for that specifically, and maybe there's a nasty habit you want to kick. I don't know what it is, smoking right. or
too many
or whatever.
Too many bunt cakes. You got to put that money away.
Yeah, too many bunt cakes.
You're spending like
stuffing that money.
$80 a week on bunt cakes. You got to stop that and put $300
totally.
Away. And you'll be fine.
Exactly. And soon enough, you'll be in Egypt or wherever you want to go. So right. it can happen. You got to just want it enough.
You know, I talked to a girl named Stacy Naito. She's an IFBB body work pro. And and she'd made mention that she promised herself something when she turned 40 that I thought was awesome, and I'm literally going to try to steal it, is that she needs to travel every other year. She needs to go somewhere where she has not been before. Like, what a great idea.
I love that.
I'd say him.
And you know what I did with it? Oh, yeah. You have to. Because every time you travel, you go, why did I wait so long? Like, this is not just like you saw a cool place, but your eyes are opened up to just the stuff that you are not attached to in any way because you're living so far away from it. And suddenly you feel compassion or empathy across the world, you know, and it's needed. I wish more people would travel because of how much it would lift our world.
Yeah. Totally.
But I was going to say another little trick for that. I actually started, we're calling it a honeypot for a group of me and my girlfriends where every week I literally go, girls, what have you deposited into the honey pot? And nice. Little by little, you know, we're putting money away so we can go travel together too. So.
Oh, nice. Okay. Nice. Yeah. That's a great
Force
idea.
Your friends to pay in.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Can we go back to the Black Panther real quick?
Yeah.
If you could have a superpower, which power would you want to have?
Oh, I'm going to say teleportation.
Yes.
Hey, I mean, just like we're talking about now.
Awesome with that. Yeah, right? Like, boom, you're just in Paris having a coffee.
You're there.
Like, yeah,
we don't have to, like, discuss this anymore about how we're going to save up for that flight or whatever.
Right.
We're just going to teleport.
That is always my, and I literally have talked to 500 people in the last, you know, few years. I ask almost every single one of them, and teleportation has come up here and there, but that's the one that I'm always like, whenever, oh, well, I want super strength or I want invisibility or whatever.
Yeah.
And I always say, well, I, you know, personally, I like teleportation. And as soon as you say that to somebody that normally would not think that, they're like, holy crap, why didn't I think that? That would be amazing.
I know.
Oh my
Except,
God.
Be, you know, being able to fly or something would be pretty damn
cool. That'd be
cool
pretty
too.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, super speed like Superman would be awesome, but teleportation.
Yeah.
You can't beat
that. I don't think you can beat that. I really
think
don't.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on legalized marijuana? Of course, it just came to Canada in, what, I guess, October last year.
But technically.
I mean, it technically was kind of, is what you're going to say, especially in Vancouver. Holy, it didn't matter. Like, who cares?
Right. I mean, I remember being there years ago and it was not, and no one cared about that.
Right. It's because there's something better to do than, the interesting thing though, of course, in the States, I mean, people are incarcerated because of smoking a joint, having a little bag on them or whatever. And it's like, wow, really? You're throwing them in jail for years because of a
joint?
And
we're paying for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
taxpayers were paying for that.
Do you think that the states will look and go like, well, Canada, I mean, they're like our little brother. Let's do it, too.
One would think, wouldn't they? I would say that in regards to legalizing marijuana, legalize it all. Like, not just marijuana. I think legalize all drugs. Legalize
wow, really?
All of it. Yeah. Mm. I honestly think that it would stop so much of the... First of all, you got to realize that the drug cartels are making mad money off of illegal drugs.
Like, right.
If we're worried about so much of what's coming over here from Mexico and all the drama that brings as well, and why the people are fleeing from there in the first place, why we're talking about building a wall and all this.
You know, you might be right, because it's not like if suddenly Mercedes, they're like, heroin is now legal. You wouldn't be looking for a bag of heroin or whatever they...
No,
you
know what I mean? Like, that doesn't change my mind at all.
Yeah, so like, who cares if it's legal or not?
Exactly. The people who are doing drugs currently are going to continue doing those drugs. I mean, we do those things for deeper reasons than because it's legal, much deeper reasons than just because it's legal.
Right.
So.
Right.
I don't smoke marijuana and it's legal. Like, it doesn't change my life.
And say for me, like here, you know, just because now it's legal doesn't mean I go to a dispensary. Like, my life hasn't changed. I still buy from the same guy that,
really?
You know what I mean? Like, that I bought from 10, 12 years or whatever. And, you know, life goes on. It's, you might have something with that whole legal thing.
Now, I got to ask, though, is the guy now licensed to sell it?
My guy? No.
Yeah.
No. He'd still, it wouldn't be good.
Because I always wonder, like,
you got to apply for the, I don't know. I mean, I think that's going to get to that point eventually. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it will.
But right now, they're just so far behind. I mean, the government is, you know, it's good that they started it, but I've read stuff that, like, you know, you're getting weed from the government dispensaries that are this moldy. You can't fucking smoke moldy weed.
Yikes, yeah.
I know, right? Like, I think I'll just...
Somebody's got to regulate
I'll
it,
stay
yeah.
with my buddy that always has good weed. two more questions, and thank you again for doing this with us tonight.
Oh, of course.
Have you ever had a near-death experience? And not where you're, like, floating over your body and, you know, floating to a light and kind of thing. More like, holy crap, I could have died there.
I have had... Let me give you two different.
Okay.
So one's like, I'll give you, start with the more mild, but interesting, and I don't know, to my mind.
Okay.
So once I was driving, and my boyfriend at the time, I was a lot younger, and we were in my car. Unfortunately, it was my car because the story doesn't end well for the car. Mm. and a drink spilled down like the center divider. And we both went to grab the drink at the same time. And he's driving and I'm in the passenger seat. And as we grabbed the drink, the person in front of us, you know, stopped. Everybody in front stopped, basically. And we did not see that, or he did not see that. Mm. And so he didn't stop. So we went, and we weren't going fast. We were not in like a, I don't know, maybe 20 miles an hour or something. Not even fast at all. But so we hit the back of the car in front of us without any brakes on. And so the airbag deployed. But remember, I'm leaning down in front of my dash in order to grab the drink. So my face is directly in front of the airbag mechanism. and that's the last thing I remember. And then I woke up with this ringing in my ear that was so loud I couldn't hear anything except for just the ring. And
wow.
And as I opened my eyes, and so I'm laying on the center console of the car, and as I open my eyes slowly, I see just white, because the dust, you have to think of, from the airbag, there's like a powder in there, and okay. It releases the powder when it comes out. So now it's just white and ringing, and I'm laying on this, you know, on this thing, and I'm becoming conscious again. And as I look over, or I don't look over, I didn't even move my head, because I knew the last thing I remembered was that I was in the car. And then now here I am laying on the side, everything's powdery, smoky looking. It looked like smoke.
Wow.
And my ear's ringing. I can't hear anything. And I see my boyfriend's hand on the front console, and it's just sitting there still. And so now I'm super afraid to look up that he's going to be dead or something, you know, like right. He's going to be messed up. And now I'm realizing I was in a car accident. And of course he said, "Are you okay?" And then I was like, "Oh, thank God, he's alive."
Right. Now I can look.
But yeah, he did crack the windshield with his head, but I got knocked out obviously by the airbag, and I was fine. I mean, I didn't even need to go to the, I didn't do anything,
right. Go
to the doctor. I just scraped on my knee, like really nothing. But that was interesting, just like how my brain perceived coming out of that.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then the other thing was, like I said, I fly a lot, so you know it's going to be a, mm-hmm. a plane story. Sorry if anyone's got upcoming flights. they're sorry in advance. But I was on a flight just to Tampa, so from California to Tampa, Florida, and we were going over some really stormy weather that day, and the pilot had, you know, said we might hit some turbulence, whatever. But then the seatbelt signs went off. We seemed to be in really smooth air for hours, we were. And so everybody was kind of like unbuckled. There's people in the bathroom. Actually, my seat, I remember, was directly behind the Delta plane. So they have the bathrooms on their big planes. They have a bathroom in the middle.
Okay.
And I was directly behind that bathroom. So I could see there was a mom and her smaller child standing outside the bathroom, and her other daughter was in the bathroom using it. So they're standing there waiting for her. I'm in my seat. My seatbelt is buckled, but it's like super loose, you know, like so I can move around like super loose. Mm-hmm. And I don't do that anymore. I learned that lesson. but most people are like not even buckled in. And so here we are cruising along. Seatbelt sign is off, and suddenly the plane like jolts to the right, like boom, and it kind of like even made a sound like boom, and everyone went, oh, you know, like, and before you could even react to it, it dropped like 200 feet, just like boom, like really sudden drop, like it pushed the plane down. And as it dropped, I remember watching the little girl and the mom hit the ceiling, you know, of the plane,
of course.
Then I could hear the little girl inside screaming, and of course everything on the plane went up, you know, in the air. Everything, all the sodas and all the things in the back pockets and all the lap babies hit the ceiling, and all the people sitting without seatbelts hit the ceiling. And I was had a seatbelt on, so I rose out of my seat by about a foot, and I could feel my top of my hair like brushing the top, you know, the
right,
ceiling.
Where you push the air and all that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. and we dropped for long enough that I remember, like, I could say, I said a couple words, and I remember, like, thinking, oh, fuck, this is where I'm going to die.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, it's going to happen. And that happened, we dropped that long. And then boom, we, like, hit the pocket, you know, the end of the pocket,
air pocket.
Or whatever.
Wow. I've had one of those.
Hit the ground.
But it wasn't 200 feet, maybe, like, 20 feet. And same thing. I saw people, like, hitting the tops of, you know, where you're pressing the call button and all that. And people doing the, I don't know, it's called the rosary or whatever, where they do the cross on their chest and all that kind of, you know, like, woo, scary shit.
I know, man.
Scary.
It is. So you, and then you got to really think about, like, how are we putting these planes in the air? They're just like these big metal tubes full of people. Right. I just think it's wild.
Just using the reverse force of the air. It's trippy when you think about it.
I mean, humans are pretty cool. Yeah. And we're also a little foolish, but hey.
Yes. All right, last question. Live. And the toughest. Yeah. I think this is going to be the toughest one for you. What is your career highlight?
I think I'm about to experience it this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, but for sure, my career highlight thus far has been starting this podcast with Jade Bryce called The Magic Hour. And I don't know about you with your podcast, but this thing has, like, allowed me to just be completely transparent and I think find a lot of myself and be able to, like, experiment with new techniques and tools and implement them into my life and then meet so many new people, especially doing interviews with them, which you probably get some of that on your show.
Lots.
And the benefits of what come with that. So just expanding my community and getting to know myself better and then getting to know my own tribe, you know, better and building my own tribe, like I was saying earlier, has been amazing. And then this weekend, like I said, we are going to actually have a live event during South by Southwest in Austin, Texas at Onnit Gym. And we're having three guests come and we'll do live interviews in front of the audience, but then we're also going to do movement-based workshops with each of the guests. Give they're all into, you know, one's if you know Align podcast with Aaron Alexander, he's coming and he's going to do an articulated stretch workshop with us and breath work workshop with us. And then Melody F. Kami, she's got this like amazing groundbreaking dance class that she's going to have us work through.
Wow.
And Parangi, who is the like number one dude in ecstatic dance, which I think is a method that's going to change the world little by little here.
Interesting.
I think we'll see more and more of that.
Wow.
So we're going to get to do all that. Aubrey Marcus is going to come and actually interview Parangi during the show. We're going to interview Parangi afterward. But so he's, you know, helping us promote. And it's just been like one of those things where things are coming into place and you're going, this is going to be like a pivotal moment for sure.
Wow. So. That was not the answer I was expecting. What was what kind of got you going down that path? Was there somebody or a podcast in general, or like, did you get inspired to do it, or was it just like, let's try it out?
Yeah. So many, all those things. But I would say that the maybe the beginning moment I could pinpoint back to would be picking up the book, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah.
And kind of just starting my spiritual journey. And I really feel like it kind of started there and, you know, moved on into other realms and being now I just read constantly, it feels like, which has, of course, like anybody that would help your journey. But, also listening to podcasts, like I've always, you know, had my own business. I have another business called Dirty Birdie Designs where I create custom promotional garments for a lot of different companies out there, which it's not something I talk about a lot publicly, but it's something that has been successful. So I've always been kind of business minded, entrepreneurial. I have two entrepreneurial parents. And so I always have listened to people as far as podcasts though that are in that spirit. So like Tom Bilyeu or Tim Ferriss, of course, Joe Rogan. And so just going through those realms, and then Jade has always been this person who kind of walks the fine line between what people find acceptable or not when it comes to like being overly woo-woo, or, you know, whatever that means in mainstream, which I don't think you can be overly woo-woo, but apparently the rest of the world does. So I've always, and my mom's very much like that, you know, she's a hippie spirit and this type of thing. So I've always felt at home with that, and we've always been really close, Jade and I. We worked at Bellator together for many, many years. And so she came to me and said, hey, have you ever thought about doing a podcast and would you want to do one with me? And it just was at a time in my life where I was like, I remember just like a week before that, I was consciously going, what's my next chapter look like? You know? And then I kind of just opened the question up to the universe and said, you know, what do I want? And only just asked that question, not necessarily even had an answer yet. And I just remember like making some conscious space for something to come into my life. And then that question came up. So it was an immediate yes. And here we are. So.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
All those things. Like I said, all those things.
Well, thank you for taking the time to join us here in Vancouver, Canada for the Toddcast podcast.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me on, Todd.